Good, dude. What's
All
up?
right, man. Welcome to the SZ podcast. Okay. Bessie, yeah. What's going on, my friend?
Not much, dude. Just got done getting a haircut and I had to take Brady, cracked his windshield. So I took him to go get his car fixed. Then we went and got haircuts and got some coffee. And then I work later today. And then I'm off on the weekend. So, yeah.
Well, cool, man. The hair looks sharp, dude.
Yeah, dude. Gave me a little confidence boost, got my hair cut and stuff. So,
yeah, beard's a little trim, dude. Chest hair is on point. Chest hair is on point, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man. So, I got a great topic today, and I want to discuss this. And I think it's a big thing we need to discuss with the youth of today. And I think we have two good people to discuss this topic with. And it's been really big on me lately about sharing testimonies, you know, and sharing like stuff that we've gone through to help the next generation, you know, and we can never force something upon someone else, but we can make them think.
Yeah.
That's all we can do is we just need to have these people think a little different and know about some of these subjects. So today, what I want to talk about is premarital sex.
Okay.
You know, sexual activity among youth.
Yep.
And that subject, and this is a subject dear to my heart, and it's a very big subject that I think gets overlooked when it comes to performance in life, distractions in life.
Yeah.
So many other things that come into this conversation that I don't think we've spoken enough of.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree, dude. It definitely has an effect. I guess I'll start with my whole thing on it. Obviously, still currently a virgin. Definitely not easy growing up in high school and middle school. I mean, I would say for my generation, for people my age, probably didn't really start until eighth grade going into freshman year where people were my age were talking about having sex, obviously.
Well, let's just say, how old is that? How old are you?
14, 13, 14.
It's an important number. It's an important number to really, when we dive into this conversation and just being real on this subject is that you got to understand the number 14 freshman year. That's when it started to come up.
That's when it started coming up for me and in my circle. I would say a handful of my friends, 14, 15 lost it like that. Not really. It's not talked about. It's not prepared on. I would say a majority of my friends that still don't really know the Lord don't understand how much it's affected them. And it's become a norm. And going through the Christian standpoint, how we're supposed to live our lives, man, like, I think this is something that we've caved to and kind of accepted as it's okay. And it's really not. Definitely been tempted in that department multiple times and just done my best to stay clean, but it's something that's there and constantly having to deal with. And
it's something that's looked down upon.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is really looked down upon. I can't tell you how many times I've been made fun of. I've gone to parties and everyone's like, oh, you're still the virgin. And my friends will call me sometimes and be like, hey man, like we need to get you to come out to my college town because we can get you laid this weekend. And I'm like, dude, like, that's not what I want. Like, I want to protect my heart. And I think as far as performance in life goes, and this will kind of go on to like watching porn and stuff. It affects you. It has a heavy, heavy hit on you on how you look at yourself, how you perform throughout the day. I mean, it's not easy. I've definitely struggled in the porn side of things and got introduced to that. And you start to like, and I know you've talked on this, like that's how you start to look at sex. Like you think it's like something that it's really not created for. Like God created it for like us to recreate, but also like the person that you're recreating with, like you guys become one and like you're supposed to do life together. And for us and like us to think. And I think this is good because I wasn't really taught on this, you know, like I knew not to have sex, and like there was a few times like just don't do it, but there wasn't really like a why I shouldn't do it or what effect it has if you do do it, because it's been like a cultural norm. And just knowing through like my experience and seeing like certain friends that have done it and like regret it and now like are a slave to it and how it's affected them, it's just kind of huge. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten close. There was a couple times, you know, been in situations and it got really close and we stopped it. And let me just say, don't even flirt the boundary. Like if you're in high school, in a relationship by yourself with a girl, like don't even tempt it. Don't even start doing stuff. Like I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on like dating and stuff. And this guy that I listen to, he does a Christian podcast and he's doing like a dating book. And his big thing is like, don't even tempt it. Like he would even encourage like not to like kiss or make out, because the moment you start doing that, your body naturally starts preparing and hormones start amping up and you want to do more. Your body like wants more of it. And then it just leads to more and more temptation. And also like, I know we think like sex is like what needs to be stopped, but like it's oral, it's physical, like all that stuff. It's not just like sex in general, like oral sex is just as bad, you know, and stuff like that. And I think like, I've definitely been like, oh, I could push the boundaries a little bit and not go all the way and I'm good, you know? And luckily there's only been like once or twice where that's happened. And it's scary, man, because I remember for me, there was one time I almost had sex and the girl I was with, I was drinking, and that's never a good combination because I was under the influence, didn't have control, and we were about to. And she had lost her virginity and stuff and knew how important it was to me that I wanted to have with the right person. And right before we got to it, and I don't even know, like this is God's grace. I know this is God's grace. And she was just like, we're not doing this. And my mindset was like, I was ready to do it. I didn't care. I was ready to go. And she said, I know how important this is to you. We're not doing it. And at the moment I was like super upset because I just wanted to so bad, because I thought that this was the person. I thought this was right. And the next day I woke up and still to this day, can't even express how thankful I was that this girl like stopped it and ended it. And like, yeah, like just knowing that, like I get to share something that God created with potentially one person and only one person, I think is something that like is an honor and something that should be bragged about. Like we need to go back to the mindset of bragging on like doing it with one person and starting a family and teaching youth how to live properly for like God and stuff. Like we've just lost that. We've as Christians, and this goes in like all standpoints, and I think this one's huge because one, I've heard like from a parenting standpoint, we were talking about this with a few of my buddies who are like getting ready to get married and have kids and stuff, like raising a daughter and raising a son. Like the best way that you could parent your kids is live the Christian lifestyle, live how Jesus did. Treat your wife how you want your daughter to be treated, and she'll know how she needs to be treated. And treat your son, show your sons the way to treat their wives so they know how to treat a girl. And we've just lost that. We've lost that. And it's become okay to not hold the door open for girls and not do like chivalry's dead. You know, like I've ran into a lot of girls out here, thankfully in Texas, that like they refuse to date guys that won't hold the door open for them, won't do that. But back home, like it's normal to do all kinds of that stuff. And I think like, yeah, the premarital sex, the porn, like it just teaches guys to treat girls as objects and they're not. And I think like that's a big thing, man. And yeah, I mean, that's really all I
tell you what, man, well, you hear that side of the story, and I always used to make fun of guys like that,
you know? Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been made fun of.
And for me, like hearing your whole perspective on this side of the topic, well, I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So for all the kids out there that think it's cool,
yeah,
and think it's, you know, you're on this pedestal and it's a cool thing to be doing and you're cool if you hook up with this many girls. Well, guess what? I lost my virginity at 13.
Yeah.
Had no idea what I was messing around with. Mm-hmm. No idea. And for me, I grew up in the world, and it's like, for me, it was like me and my buddies. It was like the world put you on a pedestal if you did it.
Yeah.
Like that made you a man.
Yeah.
It made you a man if you did that, you know? And it was like, that's what it was about. And it was, I had no idea at the time what I was messing with.
Yeah.
You know? And I found my first, like you say, it starts basic. I found my first porno magazine at 12 years old.
Yep.
And just putting, and this is where we get into some subjects here, is like just putting that visual image of my head of a lady.
Yeah.
Started the road.
Yep.
And then the flesh took over.
Yep.
See, and this is what people have to understand. And we have to have conversations like this to understand the flesh side of our being.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh side of our being is one of the most powerful forces on earth. And when you allow that flesh to take over, especially with lust and reproduction, and when it comes into that, it's the most powerful drug on earth.
Yeah.
There was points where nothing else on the earth mattered to me except getting my fix.
Yep.
And this is what we don't talk about. Sex is like, I've snorted cocaine. I've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
Sex and chasing sex is just like doing a line of coke.
Yep.
You forget about everything else on the face of the earth, and you got one thing on your mind, your fix.
Yep.
It ain't about doing it with another woman. It's like not be out creating that passion. It's about, I need a fix. What can I get? I need to prove to myself I'm a man. Mm. I'm a man. And guess what? It's a shallow, shallow foundation.
You just end up.
You deal with it. And this is the thing, dude. You deal with it later on. I dealt with issues in my marriage because of this.
Yeah.
And I didn't know at the time. And I want kids just to understand, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You have the choice to decide what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But I want you to be aware that just to think a little different if these situations come up. And I've had some young kids that I work out in here. And this is why I'm bringing the topic up today, because it's come up a lot. In the 13 to 14, you know, people hear, oh, well, you lost your virginity at 13. How could you? No. Ask everyone when that topic starts coming up at school.
Right about
it's around that age. And you know what? It's getting younger because of how kids are exposed to, like, think about pornography now and think about what's on cell phones and think about what 10, 11-year-old kids are putting in their head.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends, right? Like, I know there's parents that have kids that are 5 or 6 and are on YouTube and don't even filter anything. And all of a sudden there's an ad and it goes, you're down the rabbit hole. Just like,
dude, let me hit on that real quick, Bessie, because this happened to us.
Yeah.
Ashton was fooling around on his YouTube kids once, you know?
Yeah.
And I just happened to catch it.
Yeah.
So guess what was on the YouTube kids, dude? It was 2 T-Rexes bending over doggy style, going hardcore on the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, dude, what is that? He had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like that visual image. And it's this, man, what image do you let into your heart?
Yeah. What are you? What
as
are
soon
you
as you look. Yeah. As soon as you look at it and you're like, oh, man, it comes back to King David and Bathsheba.
Yep.
When you look at that woman, you look at it lustfully and you let that image into your heart, that's where it takes your soul, man.
Yeah.
It takes your soul, and you're going to deal with issues later on because it's the world telling you. It's not what God created you to be. And it took me a long time in my marriage, man. I struggled with this a long time because of the choices I made when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the true passion that you're supposed to have with a woman and do that because I thought it was the other way for so long.
Yeah.
And I nearly lost my marriage because of it. Like, that's another thing, man. Like, I nearly lost my marriage. There was a time in my marriage, dude, where Jolinda and I separated for 6 months.
Yeah.
I lived in an apartment. And this was an issue.
Yeah.
And I nearly lost it because of that. And I didn't understand it at the time, but I do now. And, you know, it was something that took over my soul and it made me dark. And we talk about porn and I thought about myself like this, like, what are we, when you really think about it, mm-hmm. what are we getting sitting in front of a computer screen in the corner, looking at someone on a screen, and that's us getting our fix?
I mean, nothing. You just get like a quick rush of adrenaline.
And then you feel guilty straight away.
You feel guilty and you feel empty. And like that kind of goes back on to like how you feel about just like your outlook on yourself, you know, like obviously with me, there's more on my outlook than just like the porn side of stuff, but I'm not going to say like, that's not a part of like how sometimes I look at myself. Like when I've watched a porn video, that my day becomes shot. Like I feel empty inside and something's missing from me. And I live
in disgusting. It's a disgusting feeling.
Disgusting. And
it was the same way. It's a disgusting feeling. It was the same thing, like a come down, the same analogy. Like when you snort coke, it's like you're beaming off the walls for like a day or two. But guess what? Then there's the come down and you feel like a piece of crap. Yep. And every time you do that way, it was like it just felt that way. It was like this empty darkness that I just hated myself for being that way. And I didn't understand it at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as young kids, and this is for the young boys, man, when you're 13, 14, 15, and you're playing sports and the world's telling you how great you are and all these hormones are going crazy, you got to know that energy, man. You got to know that power, because you're running wild. You're running like a wild freaking animal, especially young men.
Yeah.
I mean, think about young men and when they're young and they first get in testosterone, and let's just say they started watching porn. I mean, you become an out of control, wild animal that is doing it all the time. Like, that's all you care about.
No control.
None. You're like a chicken with its head cut off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every young man that's hearing this today, you know what I'm talking about, because every man has been through that stage. Yeah.
Well, and the crazy thing is, Adam, is like, yes, like this is a young man thing. But like now we're at the point where studies are showing like girls are starting to watch porn and stuff like now.
Why wouldn't they, Bessie? You think about this, though, dude.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't girls start watching porn when the men? That's what they look at. So they're thinking, you know what? For me to get attention and for me to get love from the opposite sex, I have to be that.
Cave to that.
So I heard a great quote from a successful businessman yesterday, and he said, "A true man will attract a queen."
Yeah.
A true man will attract one queen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it is when it's done the godly way. God made a woman for you, one woman on the face of the earth that you will end up being with, and that she's a piece of you.
Yep.
But when you look at it from the worldly concept, like it's a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I struggled so hard with this in my early days, man. And I had so many fights in my marriage from it, and it was just, I didn't know the energy I was messing with. Like I thought, and like I said, man, I signed my first pro contract at 15. It's pretty fun to be a 15-year-old kid that's a pro athlete.
Yeah.
You want to talk about getting tempted?
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there all in front of your face. And the world's telling me the more girls you hook up with,
the more
manly you are. Not knowing that every time living that way, it takes a piece of you and it makes your soul darker and darker and darker. And it's just a lot of young men, it's a tough subject. And even from a parent standpoint, it's a tough subject for parents to talk to about their kids. And they feel that fear and they stay away from having the talk where it's like, listen, man, the best advice I can say is like, have the tough talk. And have them think about when it's coming up, because the reason they're asking is because it's in front of their face.
Yep.
I've had kids ask me about losing their virginity, and I've had kids ask me about what cocaine's like. You know why? It's because it's in front of them.
Yeah. And I think too, like, and this really goes back down to like defining like love and defining accountability on how we live our lifestyles as Christians. Like, And this is really good. We were talking about this in Romans, you know, because a lot of, you know, the question comes up of like, why would a loving God, you know, send someone to hell and all this stuff. And like, we need to understand that, like, God is loving. He's loving, but there's also like justice with God, right? Like if we sin, like there's justice that to be done with.
I've got something for you.
Yeah. Keep going.
Cause it's exactly, this is weird. You're saying this. Cause the same topic came up with me this week with what you're saying.
Okay.
And I had a debate with someone earlier in the week, and they said exactly that line that you said. They said, how can a loving God send someone to hell? And it's like, how dare we?
Yeah.
The human race, something made out of dirt in God's creation, sinned against the everlasting God.
Yeah.
And we're saying, well, how can you do that? Like, he gave Adam clothes.
Yeah.
He gave Adam grace. He gave Adam a way out. He didn't perish.
Yeah.
But we sinned against him. The devil sinned against the everlasting God. As humans, who do we think we are?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And like, I think like just going back to like accountability, right? Like we've kind of molded, and I don't mean you have talked about this, of like preaching that like Jesus is this loving and like kind of defined love as soft. And I would say like love is opposite of that. Like, yes, God forgives and Jesus did die. Like he paid that sacrifice of us, but like we have to accept that and we have to like live that model and do everything we can to try to live that model. Like Paul talks about the revival, like you, like we die and become new through Jesus. Like that's where a lot of people miss the picture. They see this, like, I accept Jesus. I'm good. I can sin again. Jesus will cover it. I can sin and repent. No, that's not how it works. It's Jesus died for this. And I want to follow him. I want to live the model that he lived. I want to come down here. I want to help people. I want to save. I want to be a light. Like we've lost that. We've lost that as Christians. We've lost this mold of being a light, saving people's lives, like talking like this, you know, like what we're talking about right now is so heavy, but it's so big for men. Like it's so big for teenage kids and it goes into all areas.
This is
everyone's scared to talk about it. And this is love. This isn't I dislike anybody that's had premarital sex. I dislike. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to understand what you're messing with. And this is love. Like I'm trying to save you from bad thoughts, from living a bad life, from feeling empty. Like I want you. And it's not our words that we're saying here either, Adam. Like this is what Jesus came like to speak through us for people. And like, that's what people miss through Christianity right now. Sorry, that was a little
sideline. No. You're 100% right. But I feel like one of the big issues is when it comes to Jesus is people think when they find Christ that all of a sudden they're not sinners anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, dude. Like we have to wake up every day and try to be like Christ. But I think we set ourselves up for failure sometimes because we can't be Christ.
I heard a good quote on this. Like Jesus talks about being the daily bread, not the weekly or the monthly or the yearly, but it's daily bread. Like we have to go to Jesus every day and receive that bread from him because he's the bread of life and live through him. But how many of us think that once we have Jesus, we're good for weeks, months, years?
Well, think about this, dude. This is really good. Think about this. How many people, when they find Jesus, start bashing on other people and judge other people like they're not sinners anymore?
Yeah. I mean,
and that's the fact is, man, I'm a sinner. I deal with this stuff every single day, just like you. I am a sinner.
Yeah.
I fall short to God's glory every single day, man.
Yeah.
And I try to stay humbled every single day. Mm-hmm. And the world tries to tell you how great you are and all these things like this, man, when it's like in the end, I told this, dude, I said this story last night, and I'll tell you one of the moments when my life changed forever. And I knew the world didn't matter anymore. And it was when Gracie had her worst seizure of a life.
Yeah.
And this changed me forever. Since this day, I have always put Jesus' face up, but I'm still a sinner. I'm still a sinner every day. I struggle every day. But, dude, in this moment, I'm at strike zone at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. Jolinda calls me on the phone. That phone doesn't ring at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, so the phone rings. My heart already drops. I get on the phone. Jolinda's like, Gracie's in massive seizure. Get home. So I fly out of the strike zone. I get home. It took me about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So then 20 minutes later, I get home and I walk into this, into our room, and Gracie's on the ground in a big grand mal seizure, and Jolinda's on her knees, like freaking out like crazy. And I'm watching this scenario, like just happen right before my eyes. Well, anyway, Gracie stops breathing and her head starts turning blue.
Yeah.
And then Jolinda is like freaking. And right there for a moment of time, a breath moment, time didn't exist. And all I had at that moment, it didn't matter that I played baseball. It didn't matter how many girls I thought I hooked up with and how tough I was. It didn't matter that I worked out that day. It didn't matter who I thought I was. When I was stripped down to nothing, all I had was prayer.
Yeah.
It was prayer to him. And that's that love, dude. And I was stripped of all of it. And I prayed and she started to breathe again. And we went on that journey and we've gone on that journey. But ever since that day, that life changed me for that day. Moment changed me forever.
Yeah.
Because I realized life in this world has nothing to do with the outside.
No.
This is all an illusion, Grant.
Yeah.
This on the outside and what we see, that comes and goes.
Yeah.
What we take it, what's inside of us, we take.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like when you lose your soul to having sex as a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old and you lose that stays with you forever.
And yeah, and this
the sex is, you know what, a brisk moment in time.
Yeah.
I had this talk with a team last night, dude, from the analogy from baseball and trophies. Mm-hmm. And it's from this standpoint, and it really comes down to this today, to understanding the world. This world doesn't matter. It's what you keep on the inside. So all the trophies that were behind strike zone, right? Yeah. Behind the corner. Yeah. When I moved out of there, it was like the 9U championship, the 12U, like all these local trophies that were this high, like waist high. So no coaches came back and got those trophies. All those coaches, all those trophies collected dust, and I threw them all in the trash. And this is what it made me understand, man, as a coach, as a person, and just growing into like how this life truly is meant to be here, is that one win, that's a brisk moment in time, man. That's something you experience with the people you love, but that's not everything. You see, the trophies collect dust and no one cares about them.
Yeah.
But what lasts forever?
Yeah.
What stays forever?
Yeah.
You see, that's where we're on to stop here. What stays with you forever?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, man. When I say, like, for you, and I love this fact, and this is what people need to hear, is that for me, someone that lost their virginity at 13 and lived that way of life, knowing what I know now, I look at someone like you, and I've always told you this.
Yeah.
And I'm glad this came up today because God's just bringing it out.
Yeah.
I always told you, you held the golden nugget for kids.
Yeah.
Because I praise you for being able to do that. You know how hard it is to handle those feelings and say no?
Oh,
that's a real man. It's easy just to do what everyone else is doing. How hard is it in today's world to be that one kid that stays true? That's a real man. It's a real man is not someone that goes and does what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
And that's I was that guy. I was that guy. But guess what? It comes up shallow, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what? I just, like I said, I just want kids to think.
Yeah.
That's all, man. Like, you have the choice. It's on you.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if you share your story, they think about it, Grant.
Yeah.
They think about it. Some kid's going to listen to this today and go, you know what? Grant's a virgin and he's proud of it. You know what? Yeah. And then when that comes up, that's going to rub off on him.
Yeah.
And you help that kid's life. You know what? And you don't see it now. But when that kid gets when God sends that man and that young boy a queen,
Yeah.
He gets to experience the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's the true blessing in your story. That's the true blessing in people's stories. It's not to put people down and say, hey, because you did this, you're going like this. It's not to do that. It's to say, listen, this is the way it is. And if you just let it out like that and say, oh, man, that wasn't so bad to talk about.
Yeah, no. And it really isn't. And I think like the big thing that I don't want people to miss is like if you've already committed this sin or anything like that, like it's okay, but it's not okay to continue to live in it when you have the knowledge passed down to you that it's not okay. You know, like I guess like that's the thing that
this is another thing too, Grant, though. You got to respect what's going on, because if you go back to the story of David, okay, he knew Jesus.
Yeah.
He knew that. It's like, it's just saying, listen, why does Jesus say, if your eye betrays you, cut him out of your head?
Yeah.
Why does he say that? Because he's letting us know through visual image. He's letting us know through visual image. Listen, guys, I'm not pointing a finger and calling you out here. He's saying, guys, if you watch that stuff with that intention, it's going to do you harm.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
He's not calling you out saying you're a piece of crap because you were born today and do that. That's the enemy beating you up and making you feel bad. It is, but it's a real subject, man. And you're not a loser if you are doing it.
Yeah.
No, you're not weird if you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's a natural subject that needs to be talked about a lot more. You think about this. A lot of people bring up like the abortion issue, but no one talks about sex out of marriage, teenage sex.
Yeah,
that topic's always left out.
Yeah, no.
Look at how many so many issues.
I can't tell you how many girls like I've heard that are like, oh, I just got like the I think it's like Plan B I don't know why I can't think of it now, but like. The stuff that prevents you from having a baby. Like they're just like, they just get that instead so they can have sex, but they won't have a kid. And then, you know, like the one time that fails, you know, it's just scary, man. It's scary to think that like, you're just flirting with so much and people.
Yeah. Don't. And the way God created the human race to be like, this has really been on me this week is like, you take what's going on in the world, man.
Yeah.
And when you read the Bible or you see how God made the image of man, we are created in his image.
Yeah.
So now you're telling the world that image is wrong.
Yeah.
And you're not a man anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so guess what? You're opening a door now where you're taking away the image of who we were created to be. Mm-hmm. Think about the issues that's going to open up.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole nother ball game here. And these subjects and this stuff, like you said, how to treat a woman, how to be a man, saving yourself for marriage, doing that stuff, that needs to be talked about more.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And like, I
think. And I hope this conversation.
Hey, hold on. You cut out. You lost your audio. I think you're good.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope some people, dude, are listening to this conversation with their kids, parents with their kids, and it opens up the topic. If they were having trouble talking about this with their kids, it kind of gets them rolling into having that talk.
Yeah. And two, like to any kid out there, you know, like I just through my story, like I definitely during the time felt alone in this because there was I think there was like a handful of guys that I knew were their goal was to save themselves. One, find those people because you're not alone. And on the other side, if you are living this and you want to be set free, know that you're not the only person that wants to be set free from it. Because the enemy's biggest tactic is to make you feel alone. Like this is something that so many people are struggling with. and don't want to admit it, but it's true. And that's the biggest lie that the enemy uses, is thinking that you're the only person through it. So one, if you're still a virgin, find people who are like that and surround yourself with them. Or if you're on the other side, know that it's okay and go find some people to help you set free, and know that you're not alone in it. Know that you're not alone in it, and reach that point. Obviously, you know, and we can talk all we want, and this is a big thing too. Like, it's a decision that you have to make and you have to have that conversation with. But I do think that it is important that we are talking about it, and there's roadmaps. Like, I came out here and I was struggling with some porn stuff, and like, when I watch movies now, if there's any like, and this is what's crazy, right? We think porn, we just think of porn, but like movie scenes, right? Anytime there's a sex scene that comes up, my roommate fast forwards it. He skips that scene. He's like, we can just skip through this and go back to the storyline. Like, little things like that, man. Yeah, it's difficult. And like, yeah.
It's the eye.
Like,
oh, it's the eye. Yeah. Jesus talked about
protecting your eye. Protecting your eye. Like, we'll do it now. Like, we had girls over and we were watching a movie, and I skipped part of the scene, and one of my friends was like, hey, dude, why'd you do that? I'm like, dude, I'm just protecting all of us. And he's like, you know what? Like, you're right. Like, good call. And like, we just skipped through it. And then we went to the other stuff. Like, understanding that, like, man, it's out there in every form. Yeah. It's not just the porn. It's not just like seeing models. Like, it's in TV shows. It's in movies. It's in ads. It's everywhere. And you have
to get in here.
Yeah. What you feed your mind, man. Like, feed your mind Jesus, you'll start living like him. Feed your mind sexual stuff, you'll start doing that. Feed your mind drugs and alcohol, you'll start doing
that. Understand with that line, it's like, we're both those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's inside of us. It's both inside of us. See? Yeah. That's what a lot of people have to understand. This is inside of all of us.
Yeah.
This is why Jesus came and died for us.
Yeah.
Because of this. Because of what the enemy, like, we're half and half. You have to choose that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to choose that. And that's a powerful thing. And I thought about this while you were talking there, is that I'd said this to kids when I coach them in baseball, is like, I want you to be able to coach yourself. And this is a great analogy now that I think about it. Like, when I give a kid a pitching lesson or a hitting lesson, I always say to him, who's on the mound with you? Who's in the box with you? And they're like, no one. It's like, I can't come in there and hit for you. You have to do it on your own. And now I take this analogy within life, is that it's the same thing. We want people and these kids to be able to coach themselves in these situations, because we're not going to be there.
No, we're not.
We can't rely on Grant. We can't rely on Adam. But these kids are going to be in the situation where it's like, if you're alone with a girl and this situation's come up, have you shared and coached and helped people to say, man, they can coach themselves now?
Yeah.
But if you don't share these stories with them, how do we coach them? And this is one thing that's really bothered me lately, is that we don't have these talks with kids. Mm-hmm. And people did. I experienced this in my life, especially when I got into the hard drugs hard. And everyone would make fun of me behind my back.
Yeah.
You know, but no one reached out and was like, hey, dude, get your shit together.
Yep. No. But everyone would talk. We just define love. Like, we think it's more loving now. We think it's more loving now to tell someone what they want to hear rather than what they should, right? Like, I don't want to tell them to stop smoking weed or stop drinking because if they do that, they'll get mad at me and they'll hate me. They won't want to be my friend anymore. No, scratch that. Hey, Adam, I don't want you to drink anymore because it's ruining you. You're losing your identity. I want you to be my friend. I'm doing this out of love. And this goes in, you can apply this in anything, coaching, relationships, friend, like all aspects. Like,
but you're always on
to protect someone, to say, hey, this is harming you. I'm not doing this to like look at you differently. I don't look at you any different. I'm just saying, look, man, look what you're doing to yourself. You're rotting away. You're rotting. You're losing yourself. Like, that's what we need to switch it to. Right. And know like that could come back at you, you know. Like, I mean, you have been through so much that we know, like, I've had multiple conversations with you where you've had to give me the whole like, hey, get your crap together. And it's been great. But like, knowing that that's all love, it's not like you think any different. I mean, you see this light and you're like, hey, go back to that, because what you're doing there, the world needs. They don't need the person who's living in sin and rotting away. We need people to go out and spread light and like teach people how to live and be free.
But it's all to do with the inner world, man.
Yeah.
Like, people need to understand how the inner world works. The outer world is showing something's wrong with the inner world.
Yeah.
That's all it's doing, man. Like, if you're hurting inside, mm-hmm. and you don't know why, and you feel like you're lost in the wilderness, and it's a tough place to be in, and so many things happen in that area, and it's just like, man, so many people go through this, and we just live in an era where we don't bring up these topics enough. And like I said, every time I've talked to you, I've told you guys all the same things, man. Like, dude, I mess up every single day.
Yeah.
I try to have conversations with people where it's like, dude, I'm messing up every single day trying to be a better version of myself than what I was the day before.
Yeah.
And that's never going to end.
No.
See, that's the thing you have to understand too. We are going to battle.
It's a battle.
We are going to battle that. That's who the human race is. We battle good and evil every single day of our life. And it's not going to go away. You're not going to outrun the negative voices.
No.
They're going to be there.
No.
They're going to be there. But if you find ways to get that confidence in yourself, because that's what happens, man. When you watch porn and you do that, you get like this, you get blinders, like you're right here, and then it's straight like emptiness.
Yep. Oh.
And you know, when you feel that emptiness, you can't be your best for everyone else. And that's all I'm trying to say with people. Like, when I was watching porn all the time and I felt terrible about myself, I was a terrible husband. I was a terrible, like, I was not my
you. It just becomes about you. You can no longer help people because it becomes about you. It's no different.
Exactly.
You've
got to change the direction. It's exactly what you just said. You get so caught up on how disgusting you are.
Can't love anybody
else. How bad you are and this. And then you go through your life and you're like, man, why am I depressed? Why do I not feel good about myself? Why am I this? It's because that's just that rotten darkness that has pulled you in and has just made you feel so gross. And it's taken the image of you, what God looks at you like, which the enemy doesn't want. The one thing the enemy does not want is for you to see how God looks at you.
Yep.
And he loves you and he loves us. And it's like he sent Jesus for us and he gave us that choice, is that he's such a loving God. He gave us a way out.
Yeah.
He didn't have to send Jesus. Look at the Old Testament, man. The Old Testament was barbaric.
Yeah.
All right. You want to talk about how bad the human race can be? Go back to what the human race was before Jesus was here.
Yeah.
Barbaric. He sends Jesus. All we have to do is choose him. He gives us the way out, man. But it's not. A lot of people, when they first start going through this, they think it's the punishment, like God's a punisher. Because a lot of people in the Christian religion, it's about brainwashing. It's not true. You're brainwashing people for a worldly reason. You're not showing them who Jesus is, you know? And that's a big thing why even me growing up, I hated Christians because that's how they were.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like, who are you to be judging me when all you do is talk bad on all these people and you say that's Jesus? Like, give me a break. That's the fakest thing I've ever heard. And you're fake. Like, that's how I viewed it. And
it's unattractive.
That was never the way it was, man. And it's just, I love these topics and I love this because I know every single person out there deals with something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're all sinners, man. It comes back to this. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. And you're not weird. Like I said before, you're not weird and out of place if you feel these feelings. You're not a loser.
No, yeah.
You know? And it's true battle, man. It's true battle. When the enemy has you beat up and feeling bad about yourself, he takes you away from who God created you to be for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
and the positivity in this world. And that's all it is, man. It's not you being a terrible person. It's not you saying, oh, man, you're a terrible guy because you watch porn, or you're terrible because you lost your virginity. That's not what it is. All he's doing, the enemy doesn't care about Grant.
Yeah.
The enemy doesn't care about Adam. He hates God.
Yeah.
So he doesn't care. He just wants you to feel bad about yourself because he hates God.
Yeah, he just wants you on.
That's why.
Yeah.
And he will do it to everyone he can because he hates God.
Yeah.
And that's it, man. He's just saying, you know what? I'm going to make you feel bad about yourself and feel so dirty and empty because you watch this stuff, that what are you going to do? You're going to wake up the next day and your whole day. And this has happened to me before. And this is, I know a lot of men have felt this too when they go through it. Is that, let's just say you watch porn, you do what you do, and then the whole rest of the day, you feel absolutely so terrible about yourself. That, look at that. Look what the enemy just created. You feel so terrible that you just focus all in, and you mean nothing to this world now.
Yep.
And that's what I want people to understand. It's not saying you're wrong in this. It's like, listen, we all have a purpose here. And when you're firing on all cylinders, when that machine is the mind, body, spirit,
yeah,
is all firing, just like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, when everything's firing on all cylinders, that's when the world gets the best version of Grant. That's when your friends get the best version of Grant. That's when the people of the world get the best version of Grant. Yeah. That's how you change the world. But if you're constantly feeling bad about yourself for, you know, watching porn or doing this and doing that, you can't go and change the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and that's all it is, man. It's just, that's that personal battle within us all. And I love talking about it because, you know, it's just it's a powerful thing that if kids can understand this, man, think about what some of these kids can really accomplish.
Oh yeah. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, certain kids that are crushing it right now because one, they're firing at all cylinders, and two, like, have seen accountability and all that stuff. And it's just the model to follow, right? Like, we're just called to follow Jesus, and Jesus loved on people and lived life to his fullest, and he hung out
and you know what, he was with the sinners.
There's so many ways that you can go about it, but like, the biggest thing for me, man, and if anybody gets a takeaway from this, would be one, find accountability, but two, like, know what accountability is. Accountability isn't always pretty. It's not always hearing what you want to hear. It's hearing what you should hear. And everyone knows what they should hear. You know, everyone knows when they're falling short and someone should say, hey, get it together. Like, that's accountability. That's, I think of the scripture in Proverbs when, you know, they say, like, it's better to beat your kid with a rod because he won't die from being beat with a rod, but he'll die if he lives in sin. You know, like, there needs to be a little bit of tough love. Like, we need to go back to tough love a little bit. And in tough love, knowing that, like, it is love. It's not just like, hey, you're a worthless piece of crap. No, it's not that. It's like, no, you're worth more, so pull yourself together. Like, that's the framework that we need to get back to. And I think, I mean, that's why I love talking about this too, is because everything we've talked about, you and I have lived, right? Like, we've had the hard conversations of, you know, me being in the strike zone, broken, crying, a mess, but like, hearing stuff I needed to hear, right? Like, and I think people miss that. People don't really know, like, everything you and I have been through, or our whole group and culture, like our entire wolf pack. Like, it's not always pretty, but like, we've always made it out together stronger. And like, our relationships are just tough as nails because of being real with each other and knowing that, like, we're not in this battle alone. And yeah.
I said that to Shiloh yesterday. Shiloh's been working out here, and the conversations me and him still have.
Yeah.
Like, the conversations that I've had with people over the years, it shows you the power of fellowship between the spirits. Like, mm-hmm. Some person will show up here, dude, and then 3 hours later, I'm we're off. Like you're talking for 3 hours about stuff that you don't even know how you got there.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's just for me, dude. Like, I understood this, man. I was always personal. Like, I kept everything to Adam. I've always been that way, man. It's just, that's who I was. I just always dealt with everything myself.
Yep.
But then God showed me one day that it's not about you.
Yeah.
And you got to share our testimonies, and this has been on me a lot. Our testimonies and what you've been through is actually the best thing that you can give this world.
Yep.
And if you keep that to yourself, it's kind of selfish because you're like, I instead of saying, you know what, man, like it's like I said, it's just kind of letting it out and saying, man, yeah, I lost my virginity at 13. When I worked out a couple kids, when this topic came up, I didn't even expect it to come up that day. We were doing a squat session.
Yep.
And it made me think right there, if I was the like Christians that I knew growing up right there, I send those kids out into battle unprepared. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? This is where I have to share what I came through and God bring me through, because this is why I went through it. This is why God took me on that journey and why he bring me through it and has me here is to share that with them. And I understood right then, I was like, man, I've got to share that with them, because now when they go back out into battle, you gave them a little preparation for when that subject comes up again.
Yep.
And this is where I think people have gone wrong, is that instead of having those tough conversations and preparing the kids for battle, we don't have those conversations. And then when the kids make a mistake, we rag them.
Yep.
And we bash them and we say, how could you do that?
We bury them more.
Did you have the sex talk with your kid?
Yeah.
Did you have the alcohol? Like, did you have those talks?
Yeah.
Or did you just say, you know what? I'm not going to face that because I don't want to act like it's there.
Yeah.
But then when they make a mistake, hey, man, they're a terrible kid. They're this and that. I can't believe that. And it's like, that's where I have a true problem, because that is just, you're throwing people out to the wolves, man.
Yep.
Yeah. If you know how the story goes and you know how the enemy is, like, and God gives you an opportunity
to share it.
And God gives you the opportunity to share your story with that person, and you don't, and then they go out, and then you're like, oh, he's a terror, like this and that, man. Like, I swear, God's going to put those people on us, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you become accountable. If you know the truth and you know, like, how to help people and you don't do it, like, you become responsible. I mean, that's what's going on in the world today. Hebrews talks about it. Like, the teachers are going to get judged harder than the people who don't know.
Well, think about this, dude. What's going on in the world today where you see men competing against women and winning, and people and saying that they identify as women, and people support that. You're supporting the delusion.
Yep.
So you're part of the problem.
And this kind of goes back to like what we've been going over in Romans, man, and how big Paul's message was of like, we're getting to a point now where anybody's truth is the truth, and we need to go back to God's words, the truth. Like, there's no cutting corners around God's word, right? Like, what God says is true. And like, we've just gotten away from that. We've gotten to like, oh, you think it's okay to do certain things, you know, like, it's okay. It's like, no, like, we need to go back to like God's words, the truth. And that's what we need to follow. And like,
yeah, think about it. This word has stood the test of time for 3,000 years. It's God's word. It's God's story. It's God this. We show up for 60 to 100 years and we think the world's about us.
Yeah. We think we have all the answers.
Dude, it's such a delusion, man.
Hey, dude, it's very interesting, and we're very definitely like prideful creatures, and
it's just understanding the flesh, dude.
It's fun to get humbled and have conversations like this, and like know that, like, even if one person out of this gets something, that, like, we made a difference, you know?
Well, staying humble is a big thing, man. This has been on me big this week because you can feel when the world's pulling the ego into, like, how great you are. Yeah. And it happened to me this week in certain ways, man. And you have to stay humbled to the Lord. Like, you have to just stay humbled. You're this, but man, that ego wants to pull, dude. The world will tell you. And that's what we're dealing with when you come back with the sex talk, athletes, all this. It's all the battle of, like, that's what the world tells you as a man. That's what the world tells you success is. The world tells you success is money, sports, fame, cars, girls. That's what the world tells you a man is. So you got to be careful because that world pulls you that way. Like, you're so great. You're this and that. And it's like, just always remember, we are a piece of dirt. Whatever rose up, we finished back in the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what it comes down to. And we're sinful creatures, and that's a part of us. And, like, just wrapping this conversation up, man, it's just like, young kids out there, if you have trouble talking to your parents about this, and you have trouble because you feel this way, and I love this between me and you because I love this subject between me and you because we both experienced it from both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
You've experienced it in a way that I can't recognize because you've experienced it in ways of, like, still keeping your virginity, having to say no, this and that. Well, then I was the kid that lost his virginity at 13 and then went on that way. So it's cool to see in this subject, there's no better two to have this subject because we've gave two analogies from two different sides.
Of course.
And it's powerful for these kids to hear both sides because some kids are still virgins right now. Yeah. And there are some kids out there that have made that choice.
Yeah.
And they're feeling bad about themselves. And you can just hear it from both sides. I was so happy today when this subject came up, and I now know why all the guests that are on next week. And this was just brought up, man, because it's a powerful subject to talk about from two different sides of the fence. And when you talk about it that way, it gives kids a great analogy to wherever their situation is.
Yeah.
They can relate.
Yep.
You know, and that's all I want out of this podcast. And, you know, for me personally, as a man, it's like, I want to leave a legacy in this world, man, of, like, for Jesus, to where it's about, you know, helping people understand and getting back to him. And what that means is that finding who they are through him.
Yeah.
Feeling that love and feeling that wholeness as a person in this world, because a lot of people haven't felt that yet. And I really, truly believe in today's world, man. Like, I just want our great grandkids to know the truth we're talking today. Cause I really feel like in today's world, man, we're on the verge of, like, this subject came up this week, and this is me getting, like, finishing up a little bit out there. But
yeah,
I was sitting at the dinner table the other night with Joe, and this subject came up, and I bring this up, like, a lot, where it's like, I feel like we're going to have to try to fight for the truth and keep for what's real. Yeah. And what the truth is in the next coming years, because I think more and more
the enemy's
trying to push out all what God is. And there's going to have to be his people that stay strong and understand, no, we're going to come against this. We're going to do that. And Jolinda said this, she goes, have you ever seen the movie Eli, the book of Eli with Denzel Washington? And she goes, Eli was God's warrior that had the only Bible left on earth.
Yeah.
And he had to guard that word, you know? And I was like, man, that's kind of like, you think about where the world's headed, man, and the enemy's coming strong, and he's trying to force all that out of the world, take what God is away from everyone.
Yeah.
And you think in the coming generations, Hitler tried to burn books. Modern day book burning is going on the internet right now. We're a couple generations, man, away from, like, we're going to tell the world what's the truth.
Yeah.
So it's like, listen, God's people more than ever right now have to stand up, band together, know that we have won, but come and fight the enemy on the front lines, because it's now, dude.
Yeah.
The time is now. The time is now. The battle is here. And we have to be having it's battle time, dude.
Yep.
It's getting towards the end. The battle's getting closer. If you look what's going on around the world, we're on the verge of World War III right now. Like, if you pay attention to what's going on, you know, but a lot of people are so caught up on Mr. Potato Head and all this other stuff that they don't see that we're on the verge of World War III across, you know, in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it's getting closer, man. And it's like, God's people have to band together now and be stronger than all.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the love. And that's saying, you know what, man? No, we're going to do this because it's the fight of good and evil right now. That's all it is. God tells us when we see this stuff, it's not like we're not pointing down on you. What the evil is, it's understand where it's not, it's flesh up here. The battle's in your head. We battle in the spirit. That's where we battle. We battle in the spirit, dude. It's not out here.
Yeah.
That's where the battle is, man. So it's like, hey, man, having these talks, helping each other out, the iron sharpens iron motto. You know what? Yeah. Hey, man, let's have these talks. I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to fire you up. You're going to fire me up. Let's spread that positivity, man. I heard a proverb the other day, dude, where it said, a joyful spirit gives people energy. Yeah. It brings life to this world. A negative spirit and a dark energy brings death. It drains everyone around them.
Yeah.
So now what are we going to do? Are we going to give life to this world or are we going to bring death?
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Let's give life, man.
Yeah. Give life, dude. Well, sweet.
All right, man. Well, that was a great topic, dude. That was a big subject, man. And I just know it's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait to hear the feedback on this one.
Yeah, me neither. So
sweet. Awesome, dude.
Sounds
great. Good. Catching up with you, brother.
Yep. See ya.
See you, man.